I speak to you in the name of the risen Christ who is here with us this morning. Amen.
Amen.
Please be seated. Hello in St. David's Hall. We love you. We're not going to build a balcony yet. He is risen. Jesus is risen, and the world and our lives have been changed forever. Jesus Christ has been raised from the cold stone tomb of death alive, and he is here this morning with you and with me. As Christians, as seekers after God, we come to church on this fine Easter day to celebrate and to try to come to grips with the meaning of the greatest moment in the history of humankind. We come to sing for joy at the central reality of the Christian faith and to experience again, or for the first time, the wonder and amazement, the promise and the hope of that first Easter morning and the power of life. For that's the four-letter word that Easter is about. That's the four-letter word that Christians are full of, or at least it's a four-letter we can be full of, L-I-F-E, life. New life, whole life, abundant life, redeemed life, resurrected life, life forever. For the purpose of our lives is not death, Easter proclaims. The purpose of our lives is life, a life that triumphs over death, thanks be to God's love for us. A forever life that's not just spiritual but physical, because Jesus has been raised from the dead in bodily form one day. You and I, too, will be raised in our bodies, for death will no longer be our end, but a doorway to more life. The reality of the empty tomb and the promise of the angels at the tomb and nearly 2,000 years of Christian experience of the risen, living Christ means that death has been swallowed up in victory. Remember some of Jesus' final words on the cross, "It is finished." On Easter, "it is finished" becomes "now it begins." From the heart and life that were broken by our sins on the cross, the heart that was pierced by a Roman spear to make sure it was no longer beating, emerges a new heart, a resurrected heart, an unbreakable, unstoppable heart. Life begins anew with the resurrected rhythms of that Easter heart, and it's that heart that the resurrected Jesus offers to all who believe in him, to all who read the signs and symbols of this new reality and give their lives over to God, who believe, who open a way so that God may enter into your life and my life and bring life. Now, some precious few of us hear the story of Jesus' resurrection, and we're immediately persuaded. We're changed, convinced that Jesus is alive, and we can take hold of the promise and reality of Christ in our lives. That's a Holy Spirit moment. That's pure gift. Instead, most of us, including me, have come to the knowledge of and the belief in Jesus' resurrection over time. And that's fair, because the first witnesses on Easter weren't sure at all just what had happened at that empty tomb. But slowly, gently, obviously over some time, we're given clues. We're giving enough experiences, enough nudges from God and from people who love us to accept the truth of Easter and believe and welcome this promise of life. Some of us are here this morning who haven't received that nudge from God, or haven't been persuaded over time. We just don't know, or we don't believe, or we once knew and believed, but the rest of life in the world has intervened. And we need to be told or reminded of some of the facts of that first Easter and what's happened since then. I love talking about the facts of Easter. I love talking about the details of Jesus' resurrection in the very early days of the church. For those who believe, and for those of us who aren't quite sure this morning, I love talking about them because they're just plain interesting. I love talking about them even more because they speak to God's curious way of bringing us to belief. They speak to God's way of bringing us into a living relationship with the resurrected Christ without overpowering our free will to choose. You see, in any relationship of love, and especially in a relationship with God, God allows us to come to belief and to make our own choice of life with him. To make our own choice without forcing the issue. That just wouldn't be love. And it's God's gracious way to allow each of us to choose. So let me share some of the facts and details with you this morning in the hope of renewing your choice or leading you to the choice to believe and accept God's offer of life. First, the fact that the empty tomb was discovered by the women who were followers of Jesus is a remarkable detail, and it's included in all four resurrection accounts, all four Gospels. And this is remarkable because in those days, women and children and slaves were not reliable witnesses. Sorry, ladies, different time. So you'd think, if you're going to make up a story about Jesus being raised from the dead, that it would go over better, that more people might buy into the story if the male followers had gone there first. But the men weren't there first. And the fact that the first Christians in all four Gospels say the women were the first to discover the empty tomb and the resurrection means that the story has been told as it actually happened. The second factor detail is that the story is simple and plain. It lacks any legendary elaboration. There's no angel band, no fireworks, no symbols in the sky pointing us towards the resurrection. But instead, a very basic story. A stone is rolled away from the tomb. The tomb is empty. And two angels or messengers from heaven ask the women, "Who are you seeking? Why are you seeking him here? Don't you remember what he told you when you were traveling through the Galilee?" A more legendary or made-up story would have a lot more conversation. There would have been a lot more details, and the people at the tomb wouldn't have been so afraid and amazed at what they saw. Third, the disciples, the followers, women and men, were changed by Easter. The most telling evidence of the truth of the resurrection is not the empty tomb, but the complete transformation of Jesus' first followers. Their disappointment and sadness at Jesus' death is changed to uncontrollable joy. Their fear is turned into faith. Their timid, tepid following shifts to a boldness that will never be overcome. And in less than 2 months, they go from cowardly disciples who lock themselves behind closed doors for fear of the authorities to courageous followers who challenge the authorities. Believers who stood before thousands of people proclaiming the saving, life-giving news that Jesus Christ has been raised from the dead and is offering life to everyone. 11 men and women and the other followers of Jesus, 500 people, Acts tells us, are not going to put their lives at risk or give up their lives to perpetuate a hoax. And there are far too many different people to keep a lie alive and keep it straight if the resurrection story was made up. You know, most of us, when we've told a lie, even a white lie, we have trouble keeping the changed facts straight in our heads. Imagine coordinating 500 plus people to tell a lie that Jesus has been resurrected. As the elder President George Bush would say, not gonna happen. And it doesn't make sense that later they willingly go to their deaths, proclaiming the resurrection of the Jesus and the life that he's given to all of them. It means it was no longer a matter of faith for them, but part of their lives, part of the fabric and reality of their living. And finally, the proof that Jesus has been raised from the dead is sitting right next to you or near you. People like us who have given their lives over to God, people who believe, people who are experiencing life with the resurrected Jesus that is far greater and far deeper than any life you and I can come up with on our own. A connection to Jesus that allows us to live as people who are forgiven, to live as people who have life now and more life to come. Persuaded? I hope so. But if not, God and some of us are going to keep offering this promise of life, because if this story is true, and I believe it is, then we all have a choice about what kind of life we're going to live moving forward from this Easter day. We can live the life that sees Easter as an interesting story that happened once upon a time, one that will have no impact on our lives, or we can live our lives in a fundamentally different way, because if the story is true, and if you will believe, if you will give your heart to the promise of Easter and God's love, if you will ask God to open a way into your life for you to know and experience the resurrected Jesus, then you will know him and be known by him. And you are about to experience the resurrected Jesus who is alive and with us now, inviting and beckoning us into a life that's really life, a life where we are forgiven and we can forgive, a life where we are in community with God and a community of people who love us and allow us to love them in return, and by our love and gifts and the power of God to change this world. The choice is yours, of course. But allow me to invite you to ask God to move you to believe, to invite God to give you a new heart and fill you with life now and always. For Christ is risen from the dead, and he comes to bring all of us life, life now and life far, far beyond the door of death. Christ is risen, and he is here with us now and always. Amen.